Would you welcome everybody watching on the internet right now? Good morning. God bless you. All over the country, all over the world. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would please. Those of you in your homes right now, grab your Bibles as well, or your cell phone or iPad, your smartphone, your dumb phone, whatever you might have. And let's go ahead and hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into the scripture here. We've been in a series entitled Theology. Hopefully that's not a scary idea for some of you. If you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of these messages. They all build on each other. This is probably a course that God's creating, and I'm very excited about it. But the idea of theology is the study of God and how it relates to the world, how it relates to your world. And I think that's the most practical thing that you can learn. We've talked about God, the Creator. We've talked about Jesus being God in the flesh. And today we're going to talk about God, the Holy Spirit. And let me explain why that's important. And I want you to hear me say something also as I begin today. I am practicing right now great self-control as a fruit of the Spirit, because I feel like I'm a volcano about to explode. I could have just blown right through every part of worship and just grabbed the mic and pushed everyone off to the side and just said, we've got to get into this message today. But that's the enthusiasm that I have in here, okay? There are days where things are academic. There are days where things are renewing of the mind alone. But then there are days where God does something in one service that impacts your life for the rest of your life. And I believe I have that sense of expectation in my heart that that's what's going to happen today. You might have come thinking today is a message to learn something. God is communicating a word to do something. You see, there's something bigger happening today than just listening to a message. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to connect your faith to what the Lord's doing. To connect your faith to the Word of God, not to my words, because what I have to say is very meaningless. But I do believe what the Spirit of God is saying today is about moving you into the fulfillment of the dreams and plans of God and God's imaginations over your life. And so today is about to move you, not just forward, but literally move you from a level where there was no way of accomplishing God's will in your life into a level or up to a position where you can see this is really going to happen. This is really going to take place, okay? It would be like being in the middle of a valley and you don't know what's on top of the ridge, but like God bringing you up out of that valley and setting you on top of that ridge, and now you can see the plan of God and how it's going to begin to unfold in your life. Do you understand what I just said there? And so I just want you to bring your expectation with you this morning. In talking about God the Father and talking about God the Son, today talking about God the Holy Spirit, we know that the Trinity, the three, are one. They're all God. Last week, I really felt impressed to help you see scripturally that Jesus is God, and not to shrink him down to just your buddy or just your friend, but to put him back into his position of honor and authority in your life. But the same would be true about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not another spirit from God. He's not an angelic spirit. He's not just a spirit in heaven. The Holy Spirit of God is God, and we must treat him like God, and we must react to him like we would God, where he's not optional. We know if God the Father was to ask something of us, we would not say no. We know if God the Son were to ask something of us or to move in our lives in a specific way, we would trust that move, and we would trust his voice. God the Holy Spirit is all of that in your world and in your life. So when the Holy Spirit moves upon a service, or the Holy Spirit moves upon your life, or the Holy Spirit begins to lead, you can't say no. He's God. You can't resist him, and you can't even sit there and say, that's not the way I would have done it, because you're not God and he is, and he knows the best way to get his will accomplished, not only in your life, but in this world, which is his creation. We need the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when you learn about God the Father and you learn about God the Son, something interesting. We know God is the creator of all things. We know God is the Most High God. He is the God of all power, which is awesome. Not just God of power, but God of all power. All power originates from him. I mean, you can talk about the power of the atom. You can talk about the nuclear power. You can talk about wind power. You can talk about solar power. God is the originator of all those ideas, of all those powers. Sometimes we shrink God down and just think he's a God that just does some healings. He's the God of all power, which is why when he's on your team, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. The God that created solar power is on your team. The God that created gravity, the God that created the universe and the atom and the nucleus and all that stuff that's powerful, that God is on your team. But we can look at God the creator and we can believe him being God of heaven and God of earth. And then we can see Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And we can see that Jesus, when he ascended up into heaven, he went and was seated at the right hand of God. And that's powerful. That's wonderful. But now God sent the Holy Spirit to be himself in all of our worlds. And the reason that's so vital and so valuable to us is if it ended with Jesus going up and sitting at the right hand of God, then you have God in heaven and you have Jesus at his right hand, and God could easily become a God of history to us. Or he could become a God that's somewhere out there in the heavenlies to us. But in the Holy Spirit, God continues his work that Jesus had begun. And God is a here and now presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit draws the connection between the God of heaven and what Jesus has accomplished and what happened in the past, and he keeps it living and active and relevant and powerful here and now. Did you understand what I just said? See, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God that we experience on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that we see happen in our world and in our lives. The Holy Spirit, and knowing him and walking with him and understanding him, keeps the God that's on his throne and Jesus that died and was resurrected 2,000 years ago, keeps it all happening and all working together in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one that's keeping it fresh to the body of Christ and to the church. And so today I want to help establish how important knowing the person of the Holy Spirit is and treating him and seeing him as God is. Let's see the value God puts on the Holy Spirit by how quickly the scriptures bring the Holy Spirit into the Bible. Open your Bible, if you would please, to page 1. Genesis chapter 1. Did you see what I did there? For people who want to delay and talk about the Holy Spirit 5 years down the road in some secretive Bible study in the church because they don't want to freak people out about the Holy Spirit, I want you to know on page 1, God introduces the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to hide the Spirit of God from the people of God. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, everybody, because there isn't another one. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light and said it was good. Now you can go on in that Genesis chapter 1, and you see this exchange where God the Father is creating something out of nothing. He's creating the heavens. He's creating the earth. And we know, based on last week's message, that Jesus was there present throughout eternity with God the Father. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is forever existent because he's God. And so God the Father and Jesus are there creating the universe at this time in this passage. What did they do before that? I don't know. Whatever they wanted. But at this moment, they're creating our world and they're creating our universe. So God the Father in heaven, Jesus, his delight in his presence, are creating all things. God the Holy Spirit's the one that's hovering over the waters. I want you to see that you can capture in these first few chapters of Genesis the Trinity working together. And you see that the earth was without form and void, and there was darkness over the face of the waters, and there was confusion, and there was some turmoil. If you look at some of those Hebrew words, you see kind of a violence in the water and a deepness in the darkness. And it's different from all other creations of God. You're going to notice everything else God creates, he creates in a very complete way. When God made your body, he made you physically. He didn't make you with some turmoil going on or some confusion. He didn't make you with your arm sticking out the front of your head and then scratching his head saying, that doesn't look right. We need to fix that. And so then he moves it around and different things like that. Your mouth wasn't in the back of your face and just different things. You're eating like this. I mean, it would just look weird. What everything God made is so perfect, so beautiful. But here we see something. And then you have to ask yourself, what's the lesson to be learned with this void state, this darkness state, and the waters rushing all over the place? Are we in the middle of the process of creation, or is something else going on? Theologians have debated for a long time why the earth is in that state. I'm not going to answer that for you right now because I don't know. But what I am going to say is this. The process that you're about to see is the same process that the Holy Spirit does throughout history, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the world was in a chaotic state, when the world was thrown into great darkness, whenever something, this darkness was covering the face of the waters and there was turmoil all around, God speaks, God's word gets sent out, and the Spirit goes to work, bringing it to pass, and he then puts things in order and begins to create God's perfect plan out of that chaos and out of that darkness and out of that place of turmoil. The Holy Spirit can do the same thing today. When your world is confusing, when your world is in turmoil, when your world is in chaos, God's word can go forward, and the Holy Spirit hovers over God's word and over God's people to perform God's word over your life. And so in this moment, in this setting, in this hour we have together, I believe you might have walked in and your world has been in darkness, your world has been in confusion, but the Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen. And God's word is going to go forth, and he's going to bring land out of your floods. He's going to bring light into your darkness. But you see, it's something that God does with the Holy Spirit, not without him. So you can say, I want God the Father, but I don't want God the Holy Spirit. They go together, my friend, and you need to let them go together, because in letting them go together, they can accomplish God's perfect plans over your life, and they can set things in order. And so you don't decide how God works. You just let him work. Amen. I got to tame the volcano. I'm not there yet. But you need to see that God is not embarrassed by the Holy Spirit of himself, the Holy Spirit of God. Page one of your Bibles. The early church saw and respected the Holy Spirit as God. Now, I can take you through all the Old Testament, and you'll see that the idea of the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God, that phrase is used everywhere throughout the Old Testament. It wasn't confusing. People knew that God's Spirit was God. I mean, it was just the way it is. And somehow in the New Testament time, in modern generation, we like to hide the Holy Spirit and somehow separate that Spirit and just move him off to the side. We just want to know God the Father and God the Son, but we really don't want to study or surrender or get to know God the Holy Spirit, yet he's every bit God. The early church, the apostles, who were the apostles for those of you that are new to church? The apostles were the 11 disciples. There were 12 of them, but there were 11 of them after the resurrection of Jesus that God used to establish the early church. Then there was other people in the upper room that God filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll find out about that later. But we'll see the teaching of the original disciples and apostles of the church, what we are a part of. This global church of Jesus was started by people who, with all of their heart, knew the Holy Spirit was God. They also knew he was different than God, but same as God, just like Jesus. And we'll get into some of that. Here's one story to help prove or help you see of what I'm saying, the way they saw the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just some goosebump. He wasn't just a cloud or a dove or smoke or gold dust or just a manifestation. But they saw him and respected him and his moving and his emotions and his mindset, because the Holy Spirit has emotions, according to the New Testament. The Holy Spirit has feelings as well. The Holy Spirit has thoughts and wills within the church as well. And they all work coincide with the will of God, God the Son, God the Father. But here in Acts chapter 5, a great revival breaks out. Mass move of God breaks out. And now you have a generation of Jewish individuals who have been under the law, who can never attain perfection by their own good works. And now this gospel, this good news hits the earth, that they can be saved by the work of Jesus. They can be saved by the grace of God. That God came to them and fulfilled the law that they had continued to fail over the last 4,000 years. And so people are just coming to the Lord, man. Masses of people are coming to the Lord. This revival hits the community. Thousands of people in 1 or 2, 3 days are giving their lives to God and coming into real relationship. See, because people are hungry to have real relationship with the real God. And in this incident, people are selling land and they're giving up all that they have and giving it to the move of God so that it could further the work of God. First great missions offerings being taken. And this couple named Ananias and Sapphira, they sell some land and they want to look good in church, but they don't really want to do what God's called them to do. And so they're going to fake it till they make it. And yet God knows what's really going on. Are you understanding this? And so they sell land like everybody else. And the problem wasn't that they just gave a portion of the profits to God. The problem was they were lying to everybody about it because they wanted to look one way and they were trying to pull a fast one in the body of Christ. And so Peter, the apostle, rebukes them and says this, Acts chapter 5. Again, why am I reading this verse to you? So that you can see from the beginning the respect the disciples in the early church had on who the Holy Spirit is. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Who is he lying to? And to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, wasn't it under your control? Why is it that you conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to who? God, wait a minute, I thought I was talking about the Holy Spirit. In the same sentence, you see Peter, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, in the same sentence, you see the early church and their belief. And this is just one passage. I have lots of them I could give you. I'm just trying to show you. They said, you didn't lie to man, you lied to God. And in the beginning, he's saying, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has always been God to us in our churches. And I want you to see that and buy into that. You don't have to be afraid of your God. Can I get an amen on that? Matter of fact, the more you know about your God, the more you can receive from that God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And if you don't know it, you can't believe for it. And if you can't believe for it, you can't receive it. Ignorance is not bliss. It's failure. It's vitally important that you learn all you can learn. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the apostle Paul is writing about the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, for to us God revealed them, now the them being the plans and purposes of God, through the Spirit, capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, that's capital S again, searches all things, even the depths of God. Nobody's allowed into the depths of God but God himself. Amen. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man? No one knows you better than you. Amen. 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 Except maybe your wife. Because she knows what you're really supposed to wear and what you really want to eat and what you're really thinking. No one knows a man except the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Why? Because it's the spirit of God. It's not an angelic spirit, not another just spirit in heaven. The spirit of God is just that. I know you say, Pastor Kevin, this is so repetitive. This is so simple. Let's get it then. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. Just like the Spirit of Kevin is the Spirit of Kevin, the Spirit of Norma, Spirit of Norma, Spirit of Blair and Elise, Spirit of Blair and Elise. It's you. That's why it knows you. It's why it knows your thoughts. It's why it knows your emotions. It's one with you. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but we receive the Spirit, capital S again, who's from God. You have been given God himself, God's Spirit, into your personal world, into your personal life. You've not received an angel. We do have guardian angels. We do have messenger angels that are ministering to us. I don't have time today to explain the ministry of angels to you. But greater than the fact that you have angels that work with you, you have God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells your temple, your body, your life. You are the temple of the Spirit of God. Amen. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So, a couple points here that are important. Number one, God's Spirit is his own Spirit. God's Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Continues to explain that there in Corinthians. Secondly, God's Spirit in our lives helps us unpack God's plan and our inheritance. God's Spirit in our life. According to that scripture, it says that the Holy Spirit is with us. We weren't given the spirit of the world. We were given the Spirit of God so that we may know the things that God has for us to know, that we may understand what God has for us to understand. In this context, it was saying that the world didn't understand the cross, didn't understand God's plan of redemption, forgiveness of our sins, making sinners sons and daughters of God. Angels used to say, according to the Old Testament, what is man that God is mindful of you? See, the other created beings didn't know what was on God's mind or why God was even doing this, but God's own spirit knows why God is doing this because he's God. He's got the same motivation as God. He's got the same heart as God. He knows what's up and why he's being placed in your world and in your life. So though everyone else didn't understand God's plan, though the angels and creatures of heaven didn't understand God's plan, God knew God's plan, and the Holy Spirit, that's why he didn't give you another created being to be your helper. He gave you himself because he knows what he's trying to accomplish in your life and in your world. Man, come on. God's not going to trust that work into some other created being and try to communicate his heart, his passion, his will over your life. He paid too great a price to trust this work into some other creature that he's created. He did it himself. He came himself to die on a cross, and he came himself in the Holy Spirit to fulfill what the cross came to pay for. Come on, someone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the value of the Holy Spirit in your world and in your life. He didn't trust that work to someone else. He didn't pass the buck off to someone else. He comes personally to not just die on a cross, but then to bring what the cross paid for, to bring what the cross accomplished, to bring what Jesus came for, and bring it into your world. Bring it into your marriage. Bring it into your body. Bring it into your city. Bring it into your generation. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Self-control. We have advantage in the Holy Spirit. According to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus speaking. He says, I'm going to ask the Father. Again, we see the Trinity working here. Jesus, God, says, I'm going to ask the Father. He will give you another helper. He's speaking of the Spirit. He will give you another helper. That word helper means comforter, advocate, standby. The Greek word is paraclete, not parakeet, but paraclete. To come alongside of you to help you in what it is that God is trying to bring forth in your life. That he may abide with you forever. That is, or the helper is, the Spirit, capital S, of truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. There's a couple things I want to unpack for you in that. One, the world, you have an advantage because the Holy Spirit the world cannot receive. Why can't the world receive him? Because they haven't been prepared to house him. The world cannot receive him because they have not been prepared to house him. That is a wonderful compliment of the work of the blood of Jesus in our world, in our lives. That the blood of Jesus has washed us and cleansed us, but not just forgiven you of sins. So many times we limit it, that the blood of Jesus just forgave me of sins. The blood of Jesus did more than forgive you of sins. The blood of Jesus prepared you to house God himself. Amen. Which the world cannot do because they've not been prepared. They can be only through the blood of Jesus. So that they themselves can have the helper. Are you hearing what I say on that? Now, something else that's a benefit is that the Holy Spirit abides with us forever. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go in temporary manifestation. The Holy Spirit would come upon Samson. And he would rip a lion in half. The Holy Spirit would come upon a prophet and he would prophesy. The Holy Spirit would come upon a great man or woman and they would do a great act or a great deed. But there wasn't this idea that the Spirit resided within them. But in our world, in your life, you have been prepared, and the Holy Spirit doesn't just come upon you, he abides within you. You have a river of living water flowing out of you. That river doesn't dry up every other day. And that river isn't even contingent upon your good works. It's contingent on his gift that the Lord gives us, that Jesus gives us, that remains. See, he will abide or live with you forever, which tells me on my good days and on my bad days, the helper is in me to get me through. He will abide with me forever. Not just days that I've prayed 10 hours. Not just days that I've read my Bible and didn't yell at the kids. Amen. Sometimes we read our Bible and yell at the kids at the same time. That's how fallen we can be. Would you all shut up? I'm reading my Bible. Are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit abides with us forever, and Jesus didn't qualify that based on your performance. He just says God's going to send him to you, and he's going to be there to help you, and he's going to remain forever. This is way bigger than the Old Testament saints ever had. But I believe the Lord is arresting us today or capturing our attention right now, because this is the crux of today's message I'm about to communicate to you. And that is this word helper. I'm going to move from being a teacher now and just start to preach, if that's all right. Because I have to get this out so that you can get on with the call of God on your lives. What I'm about to say and what I'm about to communicate, I need you to connect with all your heart and with all your faith, please. Look, God's calling right now to tell you, listen, Jesus on the main line, people. All right, now focus on what I'm about to say. The word helper. This week, the Lord stopped me in my tracks and I was studying, and he said, Kevin, because that's my name. The word helper. I've been sent to help you. People, and you too, people have shrunk that down to thinking that the helper is just there to help them get through life's problems. And today I need to help grow you up and expand the vision of God over your world right now. The helper, yes, is there to help you through the tough time you may go through today. The helper is there to help you pay that bill. Amen. The helper is there to help you forgive someone you don't want to forgive. The helper is there to help you walk out of the bondage of an addiction or a sin pattern that you have no power in your own self, but you have God's power in you to say no to that sin and that temptation and walk free from it. The helper is there to help you with those things. But the helper is there to help you do far more than just survive or get through or to help you through life's problems. God sent you God-sized help to accomplish God-sized vision over your life. Do not shrink the helper down to just helping you get by, although you're welcome to ask him to get you through the day. Please don't misread what I'm saying. He loves taking care of his kids, and he loves everything that's important and that you have need of. God knows your need even before you ask him. So I'm not diminishing that, but I'm trying to help you say, look, don't limit or shrink down the size of your help to just paying a light bill or just getting through a sickness or just getting through a bondage or a temptation. God gave you, the God of all power gave you himself to be your helper so that you could create and accomplish God-sized plans and vision in your life. Don't let your life be about this one problem. If I just get through this one problem, then life's going to be what it needs to be. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it because I think it'll help some of us. Don't let your life be about Goliath. Some of you, your Goliath is this mountain of debt you're facing, and your whole world is just trying to get out of that mountain of debt. Or maybe there's a sickness that's going on that you're struggling against, and there's this one giant, Goliath, and you think your whole life is about just conquering that giant. Or maybe there's a relationship that's been harassing you, or there's just this problem going on, and the devil would love for you to think, and our imagination gets so shrunk down to think that our whole world, our whole life is just taking out this one giant. Do you know God's plan for David wasn't about Goliath? It was about the kingdom of God that was supposed to expand on the earth. God was making David a king. Goliath was just one step in the journey. Goliath actually was an opportunity for David to discover who he was and for God to display David in front of the people of God who David was. But David's assignment, David's life, David's call, the helper was not on David just to defeat Goliath. The helper was there to help David become a king and to lead God's people. And if Goliath gets in David's way, the helper is there to help him take care of that Goliath and all of his five brothers or the Philistines or anybody else that was going to come against David. But hear me, the helper is not just about paying a bill or getting you through the weekend or just getting you through that rough marriage that you just got out of. That's just a part of the journey. The helper is there to help you become the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God in this generation, in this city, in this time, in this season. The helper is there not just to help you get by, but to take God's kingdom all around the world. Amen. God gave you God-sized help. God-sized victory. God-sized power. God himself. Not just to help you get through this little, that little addiction. Man, you just need to let that thing become smaller. Right now, you're making that thing so big, like it's your whole world. Just let God tear it out of your life. Take it, throw it to the side, and get on with a vision of God. Your life is so much more than just getting through that addiction. Yes, it's a part of the journey, but there's something on the others. Even the cross for Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured, he went through the cross, but the cross wasn't the end thing. The cross was a means to the end. The cross was the giant in the middle. Are you hearing me? And when Jesus went to the cross, it displayed, it confirmed to everyone else who he was, and it confirmed to the devil who he was, and it furthered the kingdom of God on the other side. Jesus is still doing his ministry now. It wasn't just the cross. Man. God has visions and dreams and plans for your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I said this a few months ago, but I'll repeat it. For by the grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared. God has good work prepared for each of us so that we may walk in them. God, I believe, and you can call me naive, but I don't think I am. I believe God has a good work and a good plan for every person that gives God their life. Amen. Which is why he gives them the help of the Holy Spirit to help them accomplish that plan. It's a good work that comes, listen to what I'm about to say, not from your imagination, but from his imagination. Yes, yes. See, God prepared the good work beforehand that you should walk in it. God has a plan for your life that is not contingent upon your ability or your talent or your understanding even, which is also why we pray in the Holy Spirit, which I don't even have time to tell you about right now. God has a good work. Listen to this. The same God that imagined the human frame, the same God that imagined the universe, the same God that imagined everything that we see, the same God that imagined the whole salvation plan that was so good it even fooled the devil, that he thought he was killing God's plan and he was making it happen. That creativity has prepared good plans for you too. And he knew you were going to need some help to get them by because they are so much bigger than what you're thinking and imagining. They're so much more eternal, so much more important. I want to challenge you because there's a passivity in the generation of the church that we live in where people don't care to do big plans for God anymore, with God anymore. They just want to go to heaven. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. He brings you into his plans. He brings you into his purposes. He brings you into his solutions for a planet. May you not be so selfish that you think your life is just all about you. And may we be a generation that once again says, God, here am I, use me. Do a big work through me. Say, Pastor Kevin, I'm 85 years old. I didn't ask and neither did God. Amen. Here's what you need to realize. God's plan over your life doesn't end just because your body falls off. You don't think God knows? But God, I'm 85. Who cares? He wasn't asking the question of how old are you. God has plans for you. And if you don't see them all in this side of eternity, what you do on this side of eternity sets you up for that side of eternity. Amen. But let's be a people that cry out again and say, God, use me. Do good works through me. And thank you that I have the help of the Holy Spirit, because what's in me is bigger than what I can believe and see in my own self. But I'm not doing it in my own self. I've been given God to help me do this with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That which is inside of you, the dreams, the visions, the assignments, is a creation of God. Now, you might say, well, how can I tell if it's me or if it's God? Surrender it to God. The passion, the dream, maybe you have a dream to be the educator that reestablishes how education is done throughout America. Is that me or is that God? Give it to God. If it grows, you'll know it's God. If it shrinks or it changes, you know it wasn't. But if it keeps you up at night because you're passionate about helping students learn, and ideas start coming, and solutions start coming, and curriculum start coming, I'll guarantee you the helper is helping. Say, God, I have a passion to establish businesses in all 50 states and to employ 100,000 workers. Is that me? Is that you? Give it to God and let God sort it out. Amen. You know His voice, the Bible says. You will not follow a stranger. Amen. But what I'm saying is it's bigger than you, because it's a creation. It's a seed that comes from the Spirit of God. It's a work of God. Like Mary, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he said to her, the Holy Spirit, this God, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Look what happened. Mary, unassuming, gets an interruption in her life, and the angel or messenger of God comes to her and says, Holy Spirit's coming on you, and He's creating something on the inside of you. And that which He's creating on the inside of you, we know later in Scripture, tells us isn't coming out of the passions of the flesh, but came because of the will of God. That which is put in you and placed in you didn't come because of your greed or your pride or your lusts for power. It comes because the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and He's conceived within you a good work, which is from the mind of God, to save His creation, to be a part of His salvation plan in the earth. That holy thing, which you need to start seeing the vision that's on your life as that holy thing. That holy thing that is on the inside of you didn't come from you. I am repeating myself on purpose. Because you don't get it the first time I say it. That holy thing that has been placed on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the power of the Most High has come upon you, and He's conceived on the inside of you a solution to problems in this planet. Treat the dream as holy, which means don't let naysayers pollute it and snuff it out. Treat the dream as holy, and don't go connect your life to a bunch of sinful, wasteful time wasters, because you're carrying a holy thing. The vision of God. God has conceived in His imagination good works, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you to bring that good work to pass, to bring God's will to pass in this generation. You need to start seeing what you're carrying as a holy thing, a creation of God, not the imagination of a man or a woman. Amen. Amen. It is really good. Now, God is anointing you to do this work. The word anointing throughout the Old Testament is God's Spirit coming upon a person to do the plans and works of God. You are anointed and appointed. Anointed and appointed. And it's not just important because it rhymes. Listen to me. People can be appointed to a great work because the world sees them as having some sort of talents or abilities in the natural. They're appointed because of their degree. They're appointed because of their good looks. They're appointed because of their connections. They're appointed because of their charisma. There are natural things that sometimes can position people to places of appointment. Did you understand what I said?
Yes.
But your natural talent can anoint you. And the anointing of God can even make up for lack of natural talents. Does that mean that we shouldn't develop our natural abilities? Absolutely not. We should study to show ourselves approved. We should be faithful and diligent. God gives us a vision to prepare ourselves for that vision. I don't want God to supernaturally make you a doctor. I want you to read a book. I don't want you to cut me open and say you stayed at a Holiday Inn last night and prayed in tongues all night. I want you to have gone to school. I want the tests to be hard. I want the professors to be hard. I want them to treat you like it's the most difficult thing. And I want you to get out and work on me after you've graduated with high honors. Okay? So I'm not saying skirt the process. But what I am saying is this, that we can be appointed by man, but God appoints too. But we're not just looking to be appointed to a good work. We're looking to be anointed for this great work. The work on the inside of you, I'm going to say this the way I feel it in my heart, is greater than your talents and abilities. You might think very highly of yourself, and some people, it's a natural thing, doesn't make them proud. Some people are just very confident people in general. Some people, it is pride. But listen, I believe the vision of God for our lives is bigger than even your best talents and your best abilities. And it's going to go further than your best talents and your best abilities. You are going. God's going to put you out there to where you still need him. In order for the vision to be a God-sized good work and a God-sized vision, you're not going to get to the end of it and say, man, I did a good job, didn't I, God? You're going to say, God, thank you for using me to do something like that. I had not seen, ear had not heard what you had in store for those who love you. And these good works that you've put in front of me, only God could have brought those things forth out of my life. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is for all of us, not just for some. I could give you scripture after scripture right now to tell you the Holy Spirit's for everybody, but I'm running out of time. I could talk to you about Jesus being the great example to each and every one of us of what a New Testament Christian should look like, where the Spirit comes on us and he remains. And we walk around pushing out darkness and bringing in the kingdom of light. But I want to end differently because I want you to see something prophetically now. The Holy Spirit has used prophets throughout the Bible, prophetic people, prophetic ministry throughout the Bible to communicate to people, men and women throughout the scripture. It's an Old Testament thing, and it's also a New Testament thing. Prophets and prophetic ministry are also in the New Testament. Matter of fact, I'll give you a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. God uses the body of Christ to communicate his words and his will, not just in written form, not just in teaching form, but God's Spirit who resides in us, God, the omniscient God who knows everything, can use our vessel to communicate to people plans and purposes. And God used prophets throughout the Bible in prophetic ministry to help people see the size of the good work that was set before them that they weren't even thinking about. Sometimes they had a sense, they had an unction. Sometimes they knew there was something up. But a prophetic work would come in, a prophet or a prophetic minister would come in and help identify to them and to everybody else what was in the mind of God to help shape it so that they could begin to prepare the holy thing that was being conceived in them. Are you following that?
Yes.
You know, I think about David who, as far as he was concerned, he was just going to be a shepherd. And yet in steps a prophet and says, you're not just a shepherd, you're the next king of Israel. David didn't see that coming. He was happy and content, worshiping God, playing on his heart, singing hymns out on the hillside, killing a few bears and a few lions in the meantime. But God said, David, there's a good work I have for you to grow my kingdom. And God had to put David's feet on a path by letting a prophet come in and say, this is what I'm thinking, David. Now it's time for you to think it too. Did you understand that?
Yes.
This is important to me that you have understanding of what I'm about to say and what I'm about to do. Here's the thing. Samuel came in and told David, this is what God's thinking. You're about to be a king. Right afterwards, David went back out and led sheep again. We're about to have some prophetic ministry here. God's going to tell you some big things, big plans. And you may go back to work on the factory line tomorrow, but that doesn't mean the plan isn't working. There will be an appointed time, probably a problem named Goliath will show up. And that thing which was prophesied and spoken of by God, this will be an opportunity to confirm it in you and confirm it to those around you. Did you hear what I just said? The illustration I want to give you in closing is a guy by the name of Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 10. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to close with this. And then we're going to minister prophetically. So I ask that you get your expectation up, because God's about to speak some things into your world. 1 Samuel. Now Samuel is a prophet. Saul at this time was just some tall, good-looking, handsome, rich guy, son of a rich man. Some of you say, man, that sounds good. Natural. Say, what's his name again? What's his number? Can I get his number? Listen. Natural ability. Could have been appointed, but he wouldn't have been anointed. Saul has a problem. He's lost his donkeys. He's got a couple of donkeys that ran away. And he is sent with his servant to go look for these two lost donkeys, and they're troubled about it. And the servant says, hey, why don't we go talk to the prophet and see if God has anything to tell us about finding those donkeys? And so they say, sure. And so they go to the prophet Samuel, say, we're looking for our donkeys. And Samuel says, don't worry about the donkeys. They've been found. Send your servant away. I've got something to tell you. It's amazing sometimes how what you think brought you to church is so small, but God has something bigger to tell you. You might have come to church today because you've lost a few donkeys. You might have come to church today because you've got some problem. You think your whole world is about this problem. But you know, God brought you to this church today because the prophets, the Spirit of God, has something to tell you. And it's so much more than just finding your donkeys. Amen. God will take care of that. Don't worry about it. God has something bigger to tell you. God was about to make Saul the first king of Israel. That was the assignment that God was about to communicate to Saul. And so Samuel tells Saul, show up at this dinner, and I've got a place for you to sit, and it's at a place of honor. I mean, you got to think about this. Saul woke up today, and he thought his whole world was just going to be about finding some donkeys. And God interrupts his plan and says, I'm about to put you in a position of honor. I'm about to make you a king. Some of you today, man, you think today is so average. You woke up this morning, your coffee tasted bitter. Your kids were bored. You came into church sluggish, half awake. But you know what? God had a reason for you to be here today. God had a reason for you through the internet to watch right now. And it's so much bigger than you just paying a bill or getting by. God's about to release an anointing, release an authority, tell you of your appointment, and help you to believe the helper is here, not just to find your donkeys, but to do the greater works that God has put into you to do. Are you understanding this? And so Saul sits down, and listen to what Samuel says to Saul. Verse 22, then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited. There was about 30 men. Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion that I gave you, concerning which I said, set it aside. Samuel already knew Saul was coming before Saul knew Saul was coming. I knew you were coming today, whether you knew you were coming today or not. The Holy Spirit, even beyond me, the Holy Spirit knew you'd be here today. Before you even knew you'd be here today. And he's prepared something, a portion for you, and it's been set aside for you. Then the cook took up the leg, which we like the leg of lamb, with what was on it, and he set it before Saul, and Samuel said, here is what has been reserved. And I'm telling you right now that what's about to be presented to you is something that has been reserved for you. Not for everybody else. This is for you, each of us individually. Just like each one of us gets our own tongue of fire, each and every one of us gets a calling from God, gets an anointing, gets an empowerment, gets an assignment, gets a good work from God, and it's been set aside for you, and now it's being presented to you, but it was reserved for an appointed time. Saul didn't know any of this was being prepared. Saul didn't know any of this was being reserved. Saul didn't know any of this was about to happen. He just came to find something that was missing in his life. And Samuel said, "Now, I set it before you, but you need to eat it." Today, God has prepared a whole lot of food for you, a whole meal for you. But it's up to you whether or not you're going to partake of it. Because it has been kept for you until an appointed time. And today is that appointed time. Now, Saul blew it. Saul messed up later on in his life because he became proud. And I feel impressed of the Spirit to say this. I don't know if I'm speaking to one person. I don't know if I'm speaking to everybody. I don't even know if I'm speaking to myself when I say this, but this was a very clear, I even wrote into my notes, this is a word. The good works and the plans and the things that have been set aside for an appointed time are about to be revealed, about to come forth. And it's so good, and it's so important, that it is possible that what's about to take place in your life, you could misconstrue and become proud. That it's so good that you could forget God in your good success that's about to take place. When the world is thanking you for what you've brought, may you always turn the glory back to God. Are you understanding that? See, if the helper was just here to help you pay your bill, you're probably not going to get proud. But when the helper's here helping you grow the kingdom, and what happens when you start demonstrating kingdom power and authority, just like the apostles, people turn around and think it's you, and they start to worship the apostles. And the apostles had to continue to remind the people, it's not us, it's God. I'm not believing for little works to come through your life. I'm believing for God-sized works to come in your life, which means there's going to be the temptation for you to forget God. Saul forgot God in his good success. But you know the interesting thing about God? Even with the possibility of people forgetting God because of their good success, God still brings them through those good works and brings them to those places of blessing. He told that to Israel. He said, look, you're going to come into a good land. You're going to build good houses. You're going to have your bellies full. You're going to be rich. And when that happens, don't forget me. But you know the risk of them forgetting God in their blessing didn't keep God from giving them the blessing. But I just want to, because I felt responsible to say, look, what's about to take place in your life is so good and is so effective. The world doesn't know to give praise to God, so you make sure they realize it. You make sure you're giving praise to God so they know where it came from, okay? Go ahead, stand up as we close. Let me get my prophetic team to come forward. I've asked them to minister this morning. Now, our prophetic teams are just individuals like everybody else. Normal people, normal hearts, loving Jesus, that have just set time aside and set study aside and set discipleship and mentoring aside to say, God, I want to learn how to hear your voice and be very, very effective in doing it and pure in doing it. So these are individuals that you don't need to worry about who you go in front of for ministry because they're really kind of not relevant. The Holy Spirit's the one speaking and they're conduits of which he speaks. Every word you hear, go back to the word of God and make sure it's biblical. I know their hearts, so I believe it will be, but it's always important to go recheck things scripturally. Okay? But just like David and even Saul, after he was anointed king, he went back to his father's house, and there came an appointed time for it to be revealed to everybody else, but the anointing and the call was now identified, and it was just a matter of time until Israel was about to see it. And so again, I don't mean today you're going to go to Burger King and everyone's going to fall on their knees and begin to be like, oh my goodness, Elijah has come. I just mean, look, the word of the Lord has come. God is identifying, and with him identifying, he's anointing. And you just begin to say, like Mary. Remember what I said about Mary? that there's a holy thing conceived in her. You don't have to understand what the angel said. You don't have to understand what the Lord says. You just say, be it done unto me according to your word. You say, that's so much bigger than I can imagine right now. Who cares? Not your imagination that created it. You say, be it done unto me according to your word. I encourage you when you come down to bring a recording device or something like it. Or if you don't have one, you sit back down at your seat right afterwards and write down key things that the Lord said to you. You might say, I've had prophetic word in the past. Well, God's got something for you today. You might be a leader. You might be a pastor in this church. You might be working in our technology and stuff. I'm telling you, don't miss this weekend, please. Sometimes some of us are the worst because we let everyone else get ministry and we don't think God has something for us. God has something for you too. And so I encourage you to somehow throughout the day to get ministry as well. There's an anointing on today for this. This isn't something I could do tomorrow or something I can do Tuesday or Wednesday. This is an appointed time to bring that which was reserved for you and place it in front of you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over Life Church right now. I pray over those that are here that are about to receive wisdom from the Lord, word from the Spirit. And I ask that God, it would not only just bear witness with their spirit, but would it impart anointing to bring it to pass. It would impart your power to bring it to pass. Lord, we look to Jesus. We're not looking to just be valuable and important. We're past that. We're looking to be whatever it is you dreamed in your heart about each and every one of our lives. And we start taking the limitations off and our expectations of who you've called us to be. And we say, God, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. And Lord, for those that are on the internet right now that can't be here personally, I ask that as they read their Bibles this week, I ask that while they spend time in prayer this week, that God, you would speak to them out of your word, speak to them through their own spirit, ministering to them similarly as you're ministering here, so that they miss nothing. And Lord, I give you thanks and I give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.